Hey guys, your favorite blockhead has some very exciting news. I want to let you guys know that your favorite blockhead is now a proud member of the Yogi's Podcast Network. YFB is proud to bring you more content from my friends Mike and Toria over at The Nightly Rant. So you can follow their shows on the Yogi's Podcast Network, which will include Peeling the Orange, which will deal with all the issues in Orange County, The Nightly Rant, Liberty Revealed, and even one of my favorites, the Elite Podcast Academy, where you can learn everything you want to know about being a professional podcaster, be able to reach more people and give your influence, even work on monetization and on podcast notes, you name it. This course will walk you through how to be a better podcaster. And your favorite blockhead is always very blessed to mention his membership with the Dose Leprechauns Podcast Network. You can find those links on the show, and you can always find Dose Leprechauns on iTunes and on YouTube. That being said, what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by. Once again, you are listening to your favorite blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. Most of y'all that are listening to this show right now, well, as soon as you turn in, you're probably going to already know the results of what happened tonight with UFC 241 with Stipe and Daniel Cormier. So I'm going to go ahead and get this out as quick as I can. Got this recorded a little bit later than anticipated, but the show must go on, and I've still got you guys in there, so I appreciate you sticking with me and giving me grace on this journey. That's going to be where our scripture of the day is anyway. Before I start the show, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Armor Concepts, the easy armor exterior and interior door security and protection installation, which is police-tested and recommended. The Door Armor Max Plus Combo Set provides for the doors of your home the ultimate indoor kick-in protection, completed with a one-door armor jam shield, two mini door shields, two hinge shields, and one door armor pry shield. The fear of your house door being kicked in by burglars will cease to exist with door protection kits from Armor Concepts. Just use the link provided in this podcast via the blog page, and you can also get 20% off of your purchase. And when you get to checkout and you get your kit, make sure you use the promo code AFBREAK20. That's all uppercase, two numbers. Capital A, capital F, break 20 to get 20% off of this. And if you're not sure how to install this, make sure you check the website. Armor Concepts will give you, stubborn mules like ourselves as men, they give installation videos on how to properly install the Armor Concepts in your home to avoid a break-in from here on out. So that promo code AFBREAK20 is a thank you from Armor Concepts and from your favorite blockhead. Our scripture of the day is going to come from Proverbs chapter 22, verses 11 through 12. One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he frustrates the words of the unfaithful. So guys, as I continue to get my content out there and I start getting my podcast rolling a little bit, I'm still amazed that some of you that are listeners, those that are off the radar, some of y'all that are just kind of watching from afar, I can notice when I look at the downloads, when I look at the data, I can actually tell, okay, there are more people than I realize that are watching the show, or they're checking out the blog. I can actually track the demographics across the world. And some of you have reached out. I got a friend that I just added on Facebook who told me, just out of the clear blue, hey, I really enjoyed listening to your podcast. It's really good. And I was like, wow, that was really refreshing, very nice to hear. But at the same time, you just never know who's watching you. And when it comes to being a podcaster and being an educator at the same time, you can imagine that that kind of life is definitely a fishbowl. The next guest that I have on the show that's coming on, my friend that's going to be guest number 8, he was all worried that if he came on the show, he's like, should I be using clean language? Should I be careful with my words? And I told him, there is nothing that's off limits for you as a guest. I'm the gracious host. You are the guest. If there's something you need to let rip, it's going to happen on this show. But most of you, I've actually heard that said before, that this show is a cuss-free show. Well, if you look at it compared to clean versus explicit, it's easy to tell that this one is a clean show. You wouldn't have to worry about it being played out loud for your kids, whether it was on Alexa or it was on your phone or it was on Google Podcasts, wherever you happen to listen to the show. You wouldn't have that as a worry with this show. That wouldn't be something you're fearful about. But that doesn't mean that from my guest that I'm going to censor anybody that comes on the show. If you do come on, then all I'm going to do is I'm going to change it from clean to explicit just to make sure that the viewers know what they're going to be bargaining for. So I just wanted to give a little peace of mind. First of all, there's thank yous to all of you that don't mention anything. The ones that stay silent, that are in the background, that are watching, I do appreciate you being on this journey with me. But I also want guests to realize that there is not anything that is restrictive that happens on my show with you. It's just, it doesn't flow well if it comes from me. It's not natural for it to come out of this show. And also, I've said this before, it's not so much, it should be a what would Jesus do, but often it's a what would Sparky do. Charles Schulz was a guy who actually lived through the Second Great War, and he used words like good grief and rats. It's not a bad goal to attempt to obtain. It's not a bad objective for somebody who wants to follow in those footsteps to be able to be careful with your language. Because more often than not, there are plenty of shows out there where you're going to get explicit content. You just don't need another one. And it's not going to sound a steady flow if it comes out of my show. So nonetheless, if you're worried about being a guest on the podcast, you're worried about your language, if you need to let it fly, you need to let it fly. I'll be the gracious host, and that will also be a disclaimer that we will give any of the listeners that happen to come aboard for that particular one. So as I'm getting through the show also, not long ago we had guest Sam Alvey that was on the show, UFC fighter from the Ultimate Fighter. I want to say that was Ultimate Tough 16. But then somewhere in there, it was mentioned that Joe Stevenson is going to Team Quest out there in California, and he is from the Second Ultimate Fighter, and it got brought up in the show. I had to stop him. I said, Sam, are you talking about the same Joe Stevenson that did 204 wraparounds Mike Whitehead, where he did the Scarecrow Challenge? He said, that's the exact same one I'm talking about. I would hope that would interest some of you, because I'm trying to see if we can get somebody from the gym that's with Team Quest to be able to challenge Joe Stevenson's number. Every time I've watched the Scarecrow Challenge happen on YouTube, the most I've seen is 7 laps. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, here's the way it works. You have a heavyweight that stands there and does not assist the lightweight, or I would say maybe light heavyweight or middleweight. Either weight it would be, he's a smaller guy, and he starts off in piggyback position. But what he does is he swings his body around completely. He will climb from the back towards the front while the heavyweight either keeps his hands on his head or keeps them away from the fighter so that he can completely wrap around and swing around to his back. One time around his body is one. So in other words, you swing it around again, you duck under the head, and you swing your body while holding your body weight up. You get to that, there's two. The most I've ever seen is 7, and the guy completely collapsed after he did it. Guys, Joe Stevenson is sitting at 204 laps around Mike Whitehead. That is a record that has not been broken that I know of to this day. But Sam Alvey believes that there is somebody in his gym that can do it. So I would hope that the Blockhead Nation would be behind this small movement. We can get the actual video on Instagram or on Facebook, and we can actually see if this guy is up to the challenge, because Joe Stevenson is very proud of that record. So that's what we were talking about when I had to stop him and ask these questions. So if you look at the title of this podcast, I mentioned something about what the main debate is, the GOAT. And I mentioned something called the King and the Pawn. I would hope as we get through the entire segment that this is going to make sense. But since I'm on the topic of Instagram, I asked Sam Alvey about something else too. Even though Ryan Bader being a champ of Bellator, I figured that he was a guy who was quite the prankster. And I believe that he just overdid himself, because on Instagram we have him actually going to the back of a guy. I think it was Chris Grueler. I think that's the guy that's marrying his sister, And this guy does have a boxing background, but this guy is dripping wet with sweat, and he goes behind him with a taser. I kid you not. In hand, a taser, and tasers him in the back. And of course, this guy is boiling mad after this happens. You see it in the video as Ryan Bader starts to backtrack, take two steps off, and run to the front of the building. But I asked him if Sam knew that he was quite the prankster. I asked him about had he seen the video from Instagram, and I explained what the scenario was. And of course, a man that was a few words when we speak on Instagram, Sam just says, "That is awesome." Yeah, a big help to my build-up there for Ryan Bader. But again, nonetheless, he always seemed like a guy that was always pulling shenanigans when he was in The Ultimate Fighter. Looks like he still is to this day. He wants to keep the humor as part of the workouts in his gym. So, and I keep on throwing out small little stories in here. There's been a story that I've been meaning to share with this podcast for a while. And again, I'm looking for a tie-in, but I have to make sure that I go ahead and get it out now, because otherwise I'm going to forget. So maybe we can find a tie-in to this at the end of the day. I want to say it's because when you're in the Navy, on my ship, the USS Pearl Harbor, we took a 2007 deployment, which was what you call a partnership, around South America. And I can remember very well there was a certain port, I'm not sure what country it was, but we were pulled in, and it was late in the evening after taps had gone down, meaning 10 o'clock, everybody is supposed to head to their bunks. Those that are on watch are still standing about the weather decks. But other people are coming to and from the ship. They had been on Liberty Call, or they had been staying on the ship for the night to do their laundry, or just stay on the ship and play cards, whatever the decision was for them. And I noticed that night at this particular port, as I go out, I notice that there has been some kind of a pulley system with a rope attached to the side of one of the weather decks. And a few people had gathered around the weather deck, and they are looking down at this small little barge that is right next to the ship. And what would happen is one person would drop down a good of some sort. I saw a rubber ducky, I believe, being dropped over the side. I think there was also maybe a bag of coins. I'm not sure exactly what all was dropped into this barge. But in exchange, every time something was dropped and it's made its way into the boat, these fishermen or these gentlemen or these merchants, whatever you want to call them, because there was no understanding of the language between the two, but there was definitely, I guess you can say, under the table black market business, I guess you can say, going down. Because what they're doing at that pulley system is they would pull up a type of wine. Now, normally, if you're going to bring something of an alcoholic beverage onto the ship, it has to go through all the regulations, has to be signed off and put down into one of the storage units that they have inside of the ship. This is just somebody that's on the side that on with a pulley system and a barge, and you drop some type of American commodity off the side into the boat, and they will exchange with you. And I can guarantee you that was not just any type of wine that was being brought onto the ship. I believe it was a less expensive type of what you call pisco. Now, if you're familiar with wines, you know that wine is coming from the fruit of the vineyard. But in pisco, this is more focusing upon what's in the roots of the vineyard. In other words, a much stronger alcohol. A much stronger type of alcoholic beverage that the ship absolutely went crazy for. And I always wondered where those bottles that these sailors of mine, these shipmates of mine, ended up storing them at. There might be somebody on my Facebook that might come across this and might be able to tell me one of their stories. Now tell me in the messenger what you think. But nonetheless, that is a interesting story about how, hey, this might be a clean environment, but sometimes we can talk a little bit of adult content. And we can say that as a ship that was part of a fleet, when in port, sometimes what matters is the medium of exchange that somebody will accept. And obviously, an American rubber ducky is worth more to somebody in a lower socioeconomic status of South America than some of their cheapest bottles of pisco. I've always found that story quite interesting to look back at. And of course, there is no objection. There are no upper chain of commands that are walking around like watchdogs to seeing that this is being stopped in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not sure how long this carried on, but somewhere there, I just minded my own business and went about my way. And I would think that at the end of the day, no matter what ship you're on, if you're part of a fleet, if you're part of the military, you end up being part of the same mission. And I think that can tie back into the idea of the king and the pawn. They all end up, after the game is over, they all go back into the same box. And that happens to be where I'm heading with a lot of the examples I'm given. Even if you listen to this show tonight and you realize that, oh man, you're recording this and the fights have already happened and the results are already in, there is a tie-in that I'm going to give you. But one thing I can tell you guys as I'm talking to you is that we're always trying to cut down on the time that we are shaving, right? I need a clean shave throughout the day, and you need something that will cut your shaving time in half and save you money and help you not waste water. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about my friends over at Blade Tap. This is the 3-in-1 razor unclogger, sharpener, and holder. They'll sharpen your blades for a smooth and close, comfortable shave every time where the brush is slightly frayed out, designed to get in between the blades of the razor. The clamp style holder has two grooves that hold the razor in place, whether you're in travel or you store it or you set it in your home. And the honing pad is specifically designed to polish and sharpen all of the microscopic nicks on the blades as you press and slide firmly before setting the razor in the holder as you go about your day. You ought to check out the Blade Tap. Check out the link that I have for this podcast. And when you purchase your Blade Tap, when you get to checkout, to get 20% off of that purchase, make sure you use the promo code TAPITCLEAN. All uppercase, one word, TAPITCLEAN. Tap it clean, all uppercase. Put that into the checkout and make sure you get your 20% off for the Blade Tab. Now, as I bring this back to MMA, tonight we have a well-deserved rematch, but the first thing I've got to look at is this. I got to look at the co-main event before I can go into any further detail with you guys. Because not too long ago, I was talking with the Dos Leprechauns. I'm not going to put them on blast. Their predictions, at least Jason Hendricks' predictions, were that DC is going to destroy Stipe Miocic in this rematch, and that Nate Diaz is automatically going to destroy Anthony Pettis. And this is where I had to actually say, okay, hold on. I decided in that moment I was going to have a little fun with him, but really my analysis is not too far off from where I really believe in my gut is going to be seen tonight. And I told him that I was going to see Anthony Pettis deliver a Superman punch off the cage. His response was, oh, you're going back to Strikeforce. We need a little clarification here. In Strikeforce, Anthony Pettis is well known for a kick off of the cage. He does a run, goes halfway up the cage, and does a kick, and his opponent is lights out. It's an epic moment in MMA. That is not at all what Blockhead was discussing. I am talking about the time that he was backed into the cage and came forward with a Superman punch and found a hole in the game of a guy known as Wonder Boy Stephen Thompson. Tyron Woodley of the welterweight division could not, even though he ended up winning both fights, could not solve the puzzle that is Wonder Boy Thompson. Anthony Pettis, aka Showtime, was able to do that in this miraculous fashion to hit his back against the cage and come forward into a Superman punch. Now, am I saying that is what's going to end Nate Diaz? Of course not. We know how cast iron his chin can be, and we know that he can last all the way to the fourth and fifth rounds and becomes alive towards the end. He is a second half type of fighter. He's like the New England Patriots, where they show up in the fourth quarter and you're panicking and don't know what to do. This is the playbook of Nate Diaz. And I want to believe that with the training that Anthony Pettis has had in his camp up until this time, that they have acknowledged that very important element in this fight. I would like to believe that we're forgetting that Showtime, Anthony Pettis, does have a high MMA IQ. Now, I'm not putting him up here as far as where I've given other fighters that have an MMA IQ that is to be reckoned with, such as Kenny Florian or Dominic Cruz. But Anthony Pettis is not to be dismissed. And too easily, he's being dismissed because of the name that is Nate Diaz. And Nate Diaz has sat down with so many interviews and said that so many fights just, and I quote, weren't worth his time. He believed that these guys were just coasting along and that he was the real contender. Well, it's a big deal for him to say, I'm willing to come back as a co-main event and I'll gladly go against Anthony Pettis. He believes that this fight is worth his time. So if anything is going to happen here, I believe we are going to see some kind of a spectacular co-main event that probably will steal the show tonight. I believe that this will be more explosive and will actually be a lot more of a telling story than the main event between DC and Stipe. Because also, I've told people before, if you're going to put this in another context, let's look at this from a basketball perspective. Everybody wants to talk about the greatest of all time between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. We've already talked about how those are different decades. But when it comes to MMA, you've always got somebody that is trying to obtain what the, quote, greatest of all time already has. Every athlete in every sport should be trying to surpass what the greatest of all time in that sport has already done. We learned this from the 2016 Olympics in Rio, that the unbeatable Jordan Burroughs of USA Wrestling was defeated. This Russian woke up every single day and looked straight at a poster of Jordan Burroughs and said, I am going to defeat him. Every night he'd go to sleep, he would be thinking of Jordan Burroughs. Every morning he'd wake up, he'd be thinking of one thing, Jordan Burroughs being defeated by him. And that is what drove his training to be able to find the holes in the game and be able to actually defeat Jordan Burroughs. There is somebody out there that is doing the same thing in every sport you have. When it comes to MMA, do you really believe that Stipe Miocic has not been taking the time to wake up every morning and think that DC is the guy that I'm going to defeat? You cannot tell me that has not crossed his mind or been part of his camp. And when we go back to Anthony Pettis, I can tie him to somebody else. We all love to talk about the guys that are scoring big in the NBA, whether it's Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Have we forgotten about one of the perfect point guards of our time? Have we forgotten about John Stockton? Have you ever looked at his career? So many are singing Chris Paul's praises, but without John Stockton, there cannot be a Chris Paul, because he has to surpass what Chris Barkley and many other NBA players have said is one of the smartest men to ever play the game. John Stockton is often referred to as the perfect point guard and had one of the highest basketball IQs in this sport. And I believe to current day, one of the top 10 that has one of the highest IQs in mixed martial arts is Showtime Anthony Pettis, and how quickly we dismiss him. Stipe is waking up every morning with that poster in his room and thinking, I'm going back after DC. That can be speculated all too often about this. It's the IQ for John Stockton was unprecedented. I think that we are dismissing the IQ in MMA for Anthony Pettis. And that's going to assist him in the cage tonight. Even if we get to the predictions and we don't have it go my way. Either way, we talked about there being a drinking of A&W root beer at the end of the night. So somewhere on Facebook in the next couple of days, you're going to see yours truly holding an A&W root beer mug and cheers into Jason Hendricks of the Dose Leprechaun podcast, no matter what happens to go down. And one other thing that I can say, when it comes to Stipe Miocic, no matter what truly happens tonight with this, it's a good feeling to know that Chael Sonnen and your favorite blockhead think alike. He said the same thing about how, as a fan, what I've been dying to see from the beginning of time, it's not been Stipe for the title. It has been Stipe versus Cain Velasquez. The likelihood of that happening is slim to none, but we both, as a fan, wanted the same thing. He said that on his podcast, I think on either Wednesday or Friday. And it was just nice to know that two minds that follow MMA just as fans do think alike. And at the end of the day, whether you're the greatest of all time, whether you're the king in the game, whether you're just a pawn in the game, all of those pieces are going back into the same box. The UFC will continue to put out many more fights that are coming up in the future. We're going to be seeing Donald Cerrone going against Justin Gaethje in a matter of time. We're going to see the return of Khabib versus Dustin Poirier. No matter what happens tonight, we still have the organization and we still have the sport of MMA that will continue, whether somebody is a pawn or a king or holds the title or has to relinquish the title. Or if somebody wants to do something as harebrained as challenge Valentina Shevchenko the way that Henry Cejudo has done for some kind of a intergender championship. It's getting attention, but I think I'm going to stay clear of that one nonetheless. I believe that was really the big points I wanted to bring up in this show, and I thank you guys so much for the grace you have tonight. We'll see what happens tomorrow morning with the results, but if you are not interested in this at all, maybe you're a person that wants to dive a little more into documentaries. Let me talk to you about my friends over at CuriosityStream, the award-winning streaming destination where viewers can journey through our world and beyond with over 2,400 documentaries to choose from for just $2.99 a month or $19.99 a year after your 7-day free trial. Satisfy your thirst for knowledge anytime, anywhere with CuriosityStream. Access available worldwide on your television, on your laptop, or on your phone. Use the link in this podcast to learn more about the promotions where you can get an annual plan and get yourself a $10 gift card from my friends over at CuriosityStream. And we will see you guys the next time around. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel, and that's the way the cookie goes.